Radio Prague News.
The Czech government has approved legislation on the restitution of church property. Czech asylum for Yulia Tymoshenko's husband warned hurt relations with Ukraine, according to an aide to the Ukrainian president. And in tennis, Petra Kvitová has reached the semi-finals of the Sydney International Tournament. The Czech government on Wednesday approved legislation on the restitution of church property. Under the new bill, 17 Czech churches and religious societies will get back 56% of the property confiscated by the communist regime in the 1950s. For the rest, the churches will receive 59 billion crowns plus inflation over the period of 30 years. The decision of the government comes after a heated dispute within the coalition. The Junior Public Affairs Party opposed the bill, but eventually agreed to support it after Prime Minister Petr Nečas promised the respective funds would not be drawn from the ministries run by public affairs politicians. In related news, the opposition Social Democrats said on Wednesday they would vote against the bill on the restitution of church property when it gets to Parliament. The party expressed concern that the bill might in effect break the Czech property restitution limit of February 1948. Opposition leaders also said the legislation should be approved in a referendum as it does not enjoy support of the public. The political asylum the Czech authorities last week granted to the husband of the jailed Ukrainian leader Yulia Tymoshenko will not hurt relations between the two countries, according to an aide to the Ukrainian president. Hanna Hermanova, an advisor to Ukraine's president Viktor Yanukovych, told a local TV station on Wednesday that the asylum presented no international problem for Ukraine, and relations between Prague and Kiev will remain friendly, adding the Ukrainian authorities were planning no retaliation for the move. A group of expectant mothers and midwives will sue the Czech Republic at the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg over home birth, the news website tden.cz reported on Wednesday. They complain that home births are not covered by medical insurance and midwives face administrative obstacles which effectively prevent them from doing their jobs. A lawyer representing the group said the complaint would be filed by the end of the month. A spokesman for the Czech Health Ministry rejected the claims and argued that the well-being of mothers and newborns were the primary concern. The state should cover the cost of treatment for drug addicts who can't afford it, the Czech Supreme Administrative Court ruled on Wednesday. The court was dealing with a case of a woman who joined a therapeutic community but had no means to sustain herself, and the local authorities refused to grant her social benefits. The judges said the woman's financial problems cannot prevent her from completing her treatment. The Labour and Social Affairs Ministry said it would wait for the verdict to be delivered in writing before instructing Labour offices around the country to implement the ruling in their agenda. An internal audit in the power producer ČEZ found no corruption in the firm's dealings with its major supplier Škoda Power. The audit confirmed a marked increase in contracts for the engineering company worth billions of crowns after 2004 when its former manager Martin Roman became the CEO of ČEZ. However, the search was related to an overall rise in ČEZ investments, according to the probe, which reviewed 39 contracts between the two firms worth around 26.4 billion crowns. Former ČEZ CEO Martin Roman, who stepped down in September, faced allegations of conflict of interest over his role in ČEZ and Škoda Power. A 10-year-old girl is in critical condition after she fell out of a boarding school window in a North Bohemian town on Wednesday. The girl fell onto a tarmac surface and was taken by a helicopter to a hospital in Hradec Králové. The police have refused to provide any details as the case is being investigated. And in tennis, Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová beat Slovak Daniela Hantuchová 6-0, 6-4 at the Sydney International on Wednesday, reaching the tournament semi-finals where she will face Lina of China. If the 21-year-old Czech wins the event, she will become the world's number one for the first time in her career, just days before the start of the Australian Open. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The next few days will be mostly overcast with occasional rain, particularly in the north of the country. Daytime highs should range between 3 and 7 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and it's the end of the news.
Hello.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I hope this finds you well today. My name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, a respected judicial expert on extremism resigns after a lawyer's objection that he may be biased due to his Jewish background, and major advances in cancer treatment may well be on the way. Czech researchers are currently working on developing a chemotherapy without side effects. Later on in the program, we take a trip to one of Prague's finest museums, the Museum of Decorative Arts.
In the last 20 years, I think we did a lot for the Czech applied art, especially in our exhibitions.
All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. Michal Mazel, a highly respected judicial expert on extremism in the Czech Republic, whose testimony was crucial in such cases as the Vítkov arson attack or, for example, the dissolution of the right-wing Workers' Party, has resigned after an objection was filed against his assessment in a current case. Lawyer Petr Kocsi filed the objection on behalf of his client, a member of the Extremist Workers' Party for Social Justice, charged with inciting ethnic hatred, that Mr. Mazel is biased because of his Jewish background. For the judicial expert, the objection was the last straw. The move also shocked others, fueling calls for the lawyer to be disbarred. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Czech judicial extremism expert Michal Mazel has called it quits, tired, he says, of reading threats against him on the internet by neo-Nazis, at least one of whom claimed he should receive a black mamba for Hanukkah. The expert, who was a key witness in the banning of the original Workers' Party that legally morphed into the Workers' Party for Social Justice, said enough was enough and pointed out there are too few experts on extremism in the country, making the few specialists there are easy targets. In his view, judicial experts should also be replaced by committees on extremism and racism. The last straw in his decision to quit was an objection put forward by lawyer Petr Kocsi, defending 22-year-old extremist Lucie Schlegerová, claiming Mazel could not present an objective assessment on the grounds he was Jewish. That has since caused an uproar among many in the judiciary, including the chairman of the Constitutional Court, Pavel Rychetský, who said he thought such lawyers should be struck from the directory. Still others compared the objection to the Nuremberg laws in Nazi Germany. High-profile lawyer and former Justice Minister Tomáš Sokol, who was involved in the case against the original Workers' Party, told Czech Radio this.
I do not think that race or ethnic background in and of themselves can be grounds for an objection claiming someone is biased, be they a judicial expert or even a judge. Whether we are talking about the Holocaust or National Socialism, just because you're Jewish doesn't mean you will find it more abhorrent. Both should be abhorrent to any sensitive and decent person.
At the same time, Mr. Sokol explained that he understood Michal Mazel's decision to quit as a judicial expert. While he himself had never felt threatened by extremists, the lawyer told Czech Radio that the pressure was clearly greater among specialists. Called on to return to similar territory, case after case. Tomáš Sokol again.
I wasn't threatened, but someone who has to work in this area on a regular basis, who registers remarks made against them, I do believe they feel the pressure. As a lawyer, though, it did not happen to me.
The judge in the case against Ms. Schlegerová, meanwhile, said he will render a decision on the objection on Friday, and the Czech Bar Association also has to make up its mind next week whether or not to launch disciplinary proceedings against her lawyer, Petr Kocsi, whose objection shocked so many.
Certainly a very divisive story. Thank you for this, Jan. And now we enter the field of medical research with our next story. A major advance in cancer treatment may well be on the way, thanks in part to the work of Czech scientists. Researchers from the Czech Academy of Sciences, in collaboration with colleagues in the UK, have made significant progress in developing chemotherapy that is free of side effects. Christian Falvey has more.
For many cancer sufferers, the first horror is its treatment. Chemotherapeutic drugs inhibit the growth of the cancer cells, but also weaken the immune system, bringing otherwise harmless illnesses, gastrointestinal problems, potential organ damage and infertility, and the list goes on. Doctors say that the hair loss that accompanies chemotherapy causes some victims to postpone treatment. What scientists Viktor Brabec and Jaroslav Malina of the Institute of Biophysics in Brno have achieved in a non-clinical setting is a replacement substance that does the job without the side effects.
Our department here at the Institute of Biophysics in Brno is involved for a long time in the studies of the mechanism underlying anti-cancer activity of various compounds, particularly doses which are already used in the clinic, and also model compounds. And we systematically test the hypothesis that only those new compounds which exhibit a very unique mechanism of action have a chance to be tested as the new anti-cancer compounds. And this new compound about which we are talking about now exhibits such properties. It means that the mechanism looks that it might be very different from the anti-cancer drug used in the clinic, such as, for instance, platinum drugs.
The compound in question has been reproduced by other scientists, but what made this discovery possible was the ability of the partner team at Warwick University in England to synthesize a very pure and stable compound through a unique process that can be used in the medicinal arena. The substance can also be used against bacteria that are resistant to clinical antibiotics and may promise much more.
These results are very preliminary. It looks like that these compounds could exhibit the anti-tumor activity in the tumors which are not sensitive to the metallodrugs, anti-cancer metallodrugs, which are clinically used already.
Nonetheless, no clinical studies have yet taken place, and the researchers hope their work, published first in Nature Chemistry magazine, will be widely disseminated so that applied research institutions can begin clinical trials. If all goes well, people may be able to reap the great benefits suggested by the discovery within the next 10 years.
Well, if that happens, that would certainly be a huge step forward. Thank you very much for this report, Christian. And now we move on to our feature today, which is Spotlight. We take a trip to one of Prague's many museums, the Museum of Decorative Arts. For those who just can't get enough of Czech design, this is a must-see destination. Lovers of Czech applied arts and design will find a veritable treasure trove of interesting items ranging from glasswares to clocks and metalworks in Prague's Museum of Decorative Arts. Located right across the street from the well-known Rudolfinum Palace, the museum is housed in a stunning neo-Renaissance building. It was one of the last in Prague to be designed in that style. The architect was Josef Schulz, who was also behind the Czech National Museum. On the inside of the museum, visitors are welcomed by an impressive staircase that features ornately decorated ceilings and leads up to the permanent collection. Among the museum's attractions, though strictly speaking not a part of the exhibition, is a very elaborate set of stained glass windows located on the mezzanine level. Museum director Helena Königsmarková, who has been the head of the organization for over 20 years, says she still marvels at them every time she walks past.
It's also for me a favorite window because it represents the donation of one of the founder of our museum, Adalbert Ritter of Lana, from the year 1900. And it is an allegory of collecting arts and with some symbols for collecting glass and graphic, because Adalbert of Lana was a big collector also, not only an entrepreneur who built a lot of news at the time for Prague. And his donation of main part of his glass collection is the core of our today collection of glass. He donated 6,000 pieces of glass to the museum.
Okay, so now you're taking me up to the permanent exhibition?
Yes, this is the first level. It's our permanent collection. It is called The Story of Materials. And it's in five galleries. Each room is focused on collections of different materials, glass and ceramic, prints and photography, metalwork, textile and fashion, a special gallery for clocks, and the entry hall for special collections of our history.
The collection was not always organized in this way, but after the end of communism, Mrs. Koenigsmarkova decided it was time to show visitors more of the museum's vast collection.
After 90, when I overtook the leadership of the museum, we were thinking to change the permanent collection to make it more modern and to show more from our collection, because the previous one was only from the 16th till the 19th century. So we decided to prepare permanent collection from all our collections in specialized rooms regarding to the material.
Currently, a special exhibition titled Prague Fashion Houses 1900 to 1948 shows the rise and fall of the city's fashion houses from the turn of the century up until the communist takeover in February of 1948. Some 80 items of clothing are on display.
The exhibition is on show till almost the end of April, and it shows really the best of our fashion collection. And as a part of the permanent collection, we have such huge vitrine where we can change the content. So the start of the temporary exhibition is placed here, which shows the fashion from 1900 to 1948. So the start of the fashion, which was created in Prague. And in our exhibition space is the second part, which is focused on the strong period between the wars, with the famous fashion houses like Podolska, Rosenbaum, and so on.
In another room, the museum displays its collection of clocks in a very unusual and sophisticated way.
When we started to create a new permanent collection, we had such a wish to combine the traditional, not only artworks, with contemporary, but also the display cases. So we are using the original one from the period when the museum was open, designed by the architect Joseph Schulz, and we asked the architect to develop something new. So one of his creation was this Pater Noster vitrines, so we can use the space for more objects because they run around and the visitor can call them to the eye level.
So if I push this button here,
yeah. So you have to push and keep pushing, and you can bring it to the level of your eyes and to see the details.
The institution focuses especially on Czech works of applied arts, the country's most interesting design, photography, and crafts objects. Often it has brought attention to artwork that had been completely forgotten about.
In the last 20 years, I think we did a lot for the Czech applied arts, especially in our exhibitions, not only in our museum here in Prague, but we prepared also many exhibitions for abroad to present Czech art, which was almost forgotten, especially the 20th century periods, like starting with Art Nouveau, Czech Cubism, which is very special. It doesn't exist in any other the countries, three-dimensional cubism objects. And we did a lot for Czech photography because we also have the largest collection on Czech photographies from the 19th century. Our glass collection is one of the most important ones.
The Museum of Decorative Arts also has a gallery in the Czech capital, the Josef Sudek Gallery in Prague 5. Here, in the former flat of the eponymous photographer, visitors can see his work as well as work by other modern Czech photographers. In addition, the museum in Czech, often nicknamed UMPUM after its official Czech name Umělecko-průmyslové muzeum, has three locations outside the Czech capital. One of them is located in the Chateau Kamenice nad Lipou near Pelhřimov in the westernmost tips of the Czech Moravian highlands. In the summer, this quaint museum in a former Renaissance castle is well worth a visit. It focuses on toys and furniture. The other branch of the Prague Decorative Arts Museum centers on textiles and is located in a former Ursulines monastery in Česká Skalice in the country's Hradec Králové region. There, lovers of fabric and those interested in how cotton and other common textiles are produced will find plenty to explore. However, despite having multiple locations, the museum is running out of space and sadly can only show a part of its great collection.
Yes, we are focused on Czech, speaking about the past, Bohemian applied art and till contemporary Czech design. And as I said, we can show only a very small part of it. So our aim was all the years how to get more space for our collections.
For this reason, the year 2012 is shaping up to be an important one for the Museum of Decorative Arts, says director Helena Koenigsmarkova.
Our museum's life is unfortunately not only about the fun with exhibitions, but as I mentioned, the problem with the space. We are already working since 2 years on two big projects. We will build a new depository building in Prague for our collections, and this historic building will be reconstructed. So the year 2012 seems to be quite important for the future of the museum.
But even though right now, due to its ongoing space limitations, we may not be able to see all that it has to offer, the museum is well worth a visit for lovers of design and those curious about the Czech contribution to it. That was this week's edition of Spotlight, brought to you by me, Sarah Borufka. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with the ABC of Czech. Today, Pavla Horáková reaches the letter G, and you will learn all you need to know about Czech greetings.
Hello and welcome again to the ABC of Czech. My name is Pavla Horáková and I'm joined in the studio by Vladimír Tax. Ahoj.
Ahoj.
Yes, that's right. Ahoj is an informal greeting used both when meeting and parting with friends. Now, if you think this nautical expression is out of place in a landlocked country, you're absolutely right. Nevertheless, the greeting, which found its way into the language in the 1920s together with expressions concerning sport, hiking and camping, is very popular among all generations. The general formal daytime greeting, used from morning until late, is
Dobrý den,
meaning literally good day. That's what Czechs say when they meet a stranger, somebody older or somebody of higher status. The same applies to
Dobré ráno
or good morning. Only this greeting is usable only until 10 a.m. Even earlier than that, Czechs greet each other with
Dobré jitro.
The word
jitro
means early morning, and as Czechs are known as early risers, this expression is actually quite frequent. In the afternoon, Czechs say
Dobré odpoledne
or good afternoon, and in the evening they greet each other with
Dobrý večer.
When parting at night or when going to bed, they say
Dobrou noc
or good night. Friends, family, or people who are on first-name terms have a different set of greetings, which they use among themselves. We've already spoken about ahoy. There's another originally foreign expression,
ciao,
from the Italian. It too can be used both when meeting and parting with a friend. The Czech expression,
nazdar,
is of Slavonic origin and is linked to the verb
dařit se,
to do well or prosper. Often you can hear a very intimate parting word,
pa,
or
papa.
Originally, this term comes from baby talk. The formal greeting used when parting is
naschledanou.
It roughly means until we meet again or see you. Sometimes you can hear the abbreviated form
naschle,
which is quite informal and somewhat less polite. Radio presenters often use an alteration of naschledanou, which is
naslyšenou,
meaning until we hear each other again. And that's all we have time for today. Next we will get to the letter H, which for us signifies home. So until then,
naslyšenou.
Today's ABC of Czech was brought to you by Pavla Horáková. Thank you for that, Pavla. Well, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening and have a nice day. Goodbye.